The Self-Sufficiency of God in Counseling on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. This week on the podcast, I have with me Dr. Keith Evans. He's Associate Professor of Christian Counseling at the Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte, North Carolina. Previously, he was a professor of biblical counseling, director of the Biblical Counseling Institute, and academic dean at the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And prior to becoming a seminary professor in 2018, Keith pastored in Lafayette, Indiana for 7 years. He's married to Melissa. They have 4 daughters. And he earned his PhD in biblical counseling at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Keith, welcome to the podcast, brother. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're going to talk about the self-sufficiency of God, the independence of God today. And I'm really looking forward to this because, Keith, to be honest with you, I think many, many times when we think about counseling solutions or counseling methods, we unintentionally may disconnect our theological dispositions, sometimes preferring more pragmatic methodologies without intending to discount our theological positions or our confessions about God and His character, but sometimes we wind up doing that, again, as an unintended consequence. So I want us to start here, just ask you a basic question. Why is it important for counseling to be rooted in a right understanding of God's nature? Because when we think about biblical counseling, the nature of God is so important. So why is it important that we start with understanding God's nature before we even think about counseling and the person, what they're walking through? Why is that important?
Yeah, absolutely. So just at a really basic level, our theology always informs our counseling. Like it can't not, right? So counseling methodology always flows downhill from our theology. And if we get our theology right, we have a greater likelihood of getting our counseling right. It doesn't mean that we'll always get our counseling right if our theology is right, but we have a greater likelihood of doing so. And as far as why the nature of God, well, I want to be like my Father. I want my counseling to be like the God that I love and serve, and I'm being conformed to His pattern and His image. And so I need to understand who He is, right? If I want to be like Him, I have to know Him, and I have to know Him rightly. And so if we know Him rightly, His being, His work, His character, we have a greater likelihood of counseling like Him, counseling in the very heartbeat of God.
I love that. And I think it's so important when we think about the nature of God. I mean, He's really, if we're thinking about this in a mapping context, right? He's due north, right? So for us to understand which direction we're going, how we're heading, we are people who are made in God's image, in His likeness. To understand the nature of God is so critical, not just knowing what He wants in our life, but how we understand what's good and bad, what's right and wrong, what's healthy, what's unhealthy. Such a critical piece. So talk about this in relation to, as we mentioned, God's self-sufficiency or His independence. So how does God's independence shape the way that we approach counseling relationships? And Keith, I'm thinking about this in several different ways that I think is important, because this aspect of the nature of God, like, we have to bring who He is into the counseling room. And sometimes we think, oh, this is rigid. I'm giving some sort of formal teaching about theology proper. That's not really the concept, but we have to bring to bear this truth and reality of His independence. So let me reiterate that. How does God's independence shape the way we approach counseling relationships, especially in terms of avoiding the neediness of or dependence of the counselee upon God?
Yeah. So as far as self-sufficiency is concerned, God is the only being who is truly independent. Like, we can't be independent. That's impossible, right? We are dependent creatures. And so as we're talking about this, we're not in any way saying we want to be like God. I mean, that's impossible to be independent, but we do want to emulate Him, right? So His independence means He doesn't need anything from us. I mean, by God's grace, He loves us. He cares for us. He receives our praise and worship in the Lord Jesus. He gets glory from us, and that's all wonderful, but He doesn't need us, right? And so too, if we want to emulate God, I want to love and care for my counselees, but I don't want to be needy and dependent upon them. I don't need to get anything from them. I want to serve them. I want to love and care for them, right? Like, I want that to be flowing from me to them, as opposed to they need to give me something. And so that's what I'm connecting here as far as, like, wanting to emulate God's independence, and we want to be like him in that way, that we're not needy and dependent upon our counselees.
I love that. I think that's so helpful. And, you know, as you mentioned, God being independent, the only independent being, we cannot rightly see ourselves. I mean, I say this line all the time with George Swinnick. In order to rightly understand ourselves, we have to understand who God is first, right? We as dependent beings, our reality is shaped by, as David Pallison would say, God being our environment, right? Who he is as an independent being. We are dependent upon him for life and sustenance and so on. So I think this concept is absolutely critical. Now, talk about how, in a practical way, this concept really, what does it look like in the way in which we love, shepherd others unconditionally without seeking affirmation or validation in return? And that's often a difficulty for us, right? Is we love that affirmation. So talk about how this is important, this independence of God is important here.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dale, I'm a preacher, and I just was preaching this past Sunday, and you know, you get out of the pulpit and there is that fleshly desire of wanting to hear, hey, well done, preacher. Like, hey, pastor, that was a great sermon or whatever. And I mean, it's wonderful to have encouragement and feedback. You know, no one's speaking against that. But that desire to have the pat on the back, and we have that same experience in counseling too. I want to be useful. I want to be a benefit to the person I'm caring for and working with. But there is also that fleshly desire of, oh, but I want to know that, you know, that was clever or that was insightful or whatever. But that really is kind of backwards as far as what we are to be doing. Again, if God is unconditionally loving us, there's nothing like lovely in and of us that he looks upon us and he says, okay, that's why I'm loving you. No, he's freely offering his love. He's saying, come buy without price, right? Bread and drink without cost, right? And we want to do the same as far as like the free offer of the gospel and the goodness in counseling. Like, we want that to be flowing from us to our counselee. And so again, that's a picture of how we're emulating our independent God, that we're not seeking any affirmation or validation in return from our counselees. I'm just seeking to pour out love, care, help, support, blessing them.
I think that's critical. And let me follow up with that, because I think that is a struggle for all of us who still battle in this flesh. We still wrestle with this concept. And I think it's interesting. One of the things that can guard us, I think, is how we identify success, what success actually looks like. What is success in counseling? We talk about this all the time, relative to measuring success in the secular counseling world through empirical devices and so on and so forth. Well, those empirical devices, they can't be overlaid into a biblical counseling situation. And the reason is because what we're measuring often is spiritual growth. And how do you measure spiritual growth in such an empirical way? That's a very, very difficult thing to do. So I want you to talk a little bit about how God's independence really shapes our understanding of success in the counseling room. And we have a tendency to measure success based on, you know, that person validated us as the counselor. They thought we did a good job, or we did something novel, okay? Those things can get us in danger when we're trying to, you know, present novel things where the counselee is impressed with what we did. So talk about how God's independence really helps to ground us and shape us in how we think about success in the counseling room.
Yeah, so God's word never returns void, right? It always accomplishes its purpose. And think about that first and foremost with God. God is always accomplishing his purposes, regardless of, like, when we look around and see the response to that, you know, he's bringing forth the fruits that he's desiring to bring forth. And so in a similar fashion, right, as I'm rightly dividing the word of truth, I hope I'm rightly dividing the word of truth. Like, we want to be handling the word well, but that's not the only assessment that I'm examining as far as success, right? So have I handled God's word well? Have I handled it faithfully? And then have I handled my brother, my sister, or my brothers and sisters, if, you know, marriage counseling, whatever, have I handled this faithfully as well? That I've cared for them, I've understood them, I've listened to them, I've shown compassion and empathy and concern for them. And so I'm understanding these two things, right? Then I don't mean this in a callous way, in any way. That would actually be an abuse of this idea. But regardless of the counselee's response, I can say, okay, I've rightly handled the truth. I've rightly cared for my brothers and my sisters. Well, that's success. Now, we trust the Lord with the results and the fruit that he's bringing forth. But that's a similar way that we're not dependent upon the response of the counselee to assess success. And that's getting back to what you were saying a moment ago, Dale, that we're not just, it's not empirical observation, right? Like, did I see the particular response that I want to see? And then I call that faithfulness, or I call that, you know, whatever success might be. Have I rightly handled the word of truth? And have I rightly cared for my brothers and sisters? Now, I do want to see fruit. That would be wonderful. But we don't always see that particular fruit.
That's right, Keith. So you mentioned this concept of callousness, and we're right to be cautious, right, when we're implementing concepts like this in the counseling room and the ways in which we think about success. We certainly don't want to be hardened to results that we're eager to see in the person's life. So I want you to, you've built this concept up about the independence of God and how valuable it is in a very practical way in the counseling room, really to guard the hearts of the counselee and to know what it is that we're seeking or how we see the counselee themselves. I want you to warn us in some way, ways to guard against what could be pitfalls as we unintentionally misapply this concept of God's independence or his self-sufficiency. Just give us a word of caution here, because I can think of several different guardrails that we might need that we don't fall into a pit on the other side of pragmatism.
Yeah, and we find ourselves in high truth contexts, and praise God for that, right? Like, we want high truth. We want to rightly revere and honor and uphold truth. But there's a danger that comes with that. Now, I'm not speaking against truth at all, right? Let's maintain that. But the danger that comes with that is, well, I'm just a truth teller. And so I can just tell that truth regardless of the care with which I'm applying it to my counselee. And I can actually abuse this idea of, well, it doesn't matter about the counselee's response. That's their problem. I've told the truth. I mean, we're ignoring the fact that we need to speak that truth in love. Sounds like a great name for a podcast. We need to speak that truth in love. We need to be gentle and compassionate and caring in doing so. But I think a danger of saying, well, it doesn't matter the response of the counselee, have I been faithful to the word, is what can be a pitfall or can be maybe a caricature in our circles of, well, I'm just a truth teller and they just need to deal with it.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's really, really helpful. You know, as I think about what you just described, I can't help but think about the historical debates about Calvinism. And when I think of the pitfalls of the wonderful doctrines of grace, and you think about those doctrines, and some people have taken it to a hyper mold to say, well, then we shouldn't even evangelize, right? And the concept is we still bear that human responsibility in the way in which we confess and preach the gospel. I think what you're doing is describing sort of that tension, maybe even within the counseling room. Oh, I'm just going to like throw the truth out there. The Lord's going to do his thing. And okay, that's true. But the way in which we engage a person, we also have to wrestle with the tension of the whole counsel of God's word in the ways in which we deal with and care for and move in close compassionately toward a person. So speaking the truth in love and having those two things tethered together. Really helpful, brother, in helping us think through this, God's self-sufficiency, God's independence, and just seeing the practical nature of such a heady doctrine, how it is to be implemented and practically put out in the counseling room. So brother, thanks for your help in us considering this today and thinking through it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. You know, this podcast with Dr. Keith Evans comes at a pivotal time as we will be hosting our 7th annual Leadership Colloquium event here in Kansas City. This is an event dedicated to gathering leaders within the movement to discuss critical issues that are pertinent to what's going on in the biblical counseling world. And this year, we will be discussing the concept of clinically informed biblical counseling and whether or not it stands within or outside of the movement of biblical counseling. I hope this event provides clarity for our leaders. I also hope that you all will benefit from this event. Those of you who are members will be able to watch some of the presentations in your membership portal. For everyone else, you'll have to wait a little bit, but you'll see some of the essays that are produced from this in our Journal of Biblical Soul Care. You know, these are critical days, and it's important that we think biblically and wrestle with these issues from a biblical perspective. ACBC has a long history and a passion of standing on the Word of God as sufficient for soul care. So would you please pray for us that the leaders that are present and the speakers will grow in wisdom as we glorify the Lord in our work and as we try to think biblically about these very critical issues within our movement now. So to find out more about ACBC and other resources or events that we offer, please visit us at biblicalcounseling.com.